on the line with us here, Lavoie.
Hey, sure. Lavoie, this is Stuart Rhodes with Oath Keepers. So you said in Cedar City, that's Sheriff Mark Gower's territory, Iron County. Can you tell us a little more about what's going on there?
Okay, they met in Cedar City, which is Iron County, but the two counties that I have met with that are really strong, and that sheriff in Cedar City may be just as strong, but the ones that I met with were in Paiute County and Wayne County, and that's where a lot of those ranchers came from. And so they met in Cedar because there were ranchers over there. They would have met in Paiute. So anyway, the two
Sheriff Bart Gower is a very strong sheriff. He's definitely a constitutional sheriff. And I think it's incredibly important for you to find good sheriffs and make that
absolutely.
That's what
you know, if those three counties, because they're kind of neighboring counties, I mean, if they band together, see, what happens is the proper way for this to be done is for the sheriffs to uphold and throw the feds out to protect their own citizens. And those sheriffs that I listened to in Paiute County in that meeting they had me come and speak to, those number of months back, he says, I will stand up and I will protect you and what you guys have. That's amazing, because then he can call upon, you know, whatever resources he needs. He can call upon the citizens themselves. He deputizes his own people, you know, and so we're only here when a sheriff fails to do his job. Had Sheriff David Ward done his job, provided protections for his citizens here, this whole thing would not have happened. If he would have stepped in and protected the Hammonds until they had a chance to reexamine to that evidentiary hearing that was called upon to be had, you know, a legal redress, or, you know, just to reexamine it. Had he done that, we wouldn't have been here. Hammonds wouldn't be in prison, and so that's the proper way, and we're so grateful for those constitutional sheriffs.
Guys, we have
certainly the strongest way to do it. Then you have what's called doctrine of imposition, is where the sheriff or the state has an obligation to stand up and protect the people against abuse by the federal government, just as the federal government is supposed to protect them from abuse by the states.
Yes. Yeah, and the only reason why the citizens themselves and the militia have to get involved is when the sheriff, which is the last line, fails, and then the citizens, it's left to, you know, citizens to uphold the life, the liberty, and the property of his fellow citizens. That, you know, we're charged to love our neighbor as ourselves, and so we cannot let what happened to the Hammonds, to Dwight and Stephen, to go unchecked. If we do, it shall become the new normal for America. It will be a type and shadow for all Americans that the federal government and any government may treat them in such manner with impunity. And so we cannot let this stand.
How many sheriffs total do you have that are on board to stand up like that?
You know, personally, the only ones that I have seen and visited with a little bit are those in Utah, in Wayne and Paiute County. Let me throw in my county sheriff in Mojave County. When the feds came in and says, you know, we want to deal with this Mr. Fincombe and we want you to deputize him, he says, no, I'm not going to deputize you. So I'm going to throw in a good word for Sheriff Jim McCabe in Mojave County. So I said, well, thank you, Sheriff McCabe. I appreciate that. You know, he says, I told them not to point guns at you, Mr. Finnicum. And Mr. Finnicum, I'm saying, don't point guns at them. And I says, you know what? That is a dang good deal. I can live with that. Don't need to point a gun if the gun's not being pointed at me. And that's the way it should be.
And I think really the most important thing that we got there was, you know, these counties where the sheriffs are stepping up and you've got the ranchers taking the stand. Folks, that is huge. That brush fire that's getting ready to be lit there is going to go out. But once this thing is done here in Oregon, and eventually it's going to be done, but it's those brush fires that are being set with these ranchers in the counties that have a good sheriff in them that's going to keep allow them to really take a stand. Mark my words, folks, it's those places that are really going to make a difference and really going to start those wildfires taking off. So I think, you know, that was very, very important what he's talking about, because, you know, again, it's this is going to come to an end at some point. We don't know how it's going to go. We pray for it to end peaceably and end as well as it can. But the future is going to lie in those counties where those guys are taking a stand and where we have the good sheriffs. And we've really got to focus on those strong counties and make that a game changer. Stuart, I think you've got a you were just texting me on that a little bit. Chime in on that.
Yeah, that's exactly what the bad guys fear the most, is a constitutional sheriff that stands up with a united community behind him, because now you've got max credibility and unity in a local community, and that sheriff has his own constitutional mandate under his own oath to defend the Constitution. And so they don't want to tangle with a sheriff like that. Every time a sheriff has stood up, including Mark Gower in Ion County, Utah, that's why I asked him about him, Sheriff Gower, for example, you know, the EPA coming in and trying to shut down farmers who've been farming for generations because they supposedly were infringing on prairie dog habitat, you know, as if the prairie dogs aren't, you know, you can't get rid of prairie dogs. They're all over the place. So Sheriff Gower stepped in and said, "You're not doing that in my county," and they backed off. And every time a sheriff has stood up like that, they have backed off. They don't like the optics of going up against a duly elected sheriff who's standing up for his people. So that is the best way to shift this fight out west. And this is really the only objection I've had to this from the beginning, as a matter of strategy and tactics. The right way to do it is to go find a county where you have a good sheriff, have the ranchers there stand up united, and make that your strong point, your focal point, to show how it can be done, and then spread it from there. And certainly where the sheriff's not standing up, like at Bundy Ranch, for example, or in Josephine County, or heck, even in Lincoln in Montana, you do have to defend individual ranchers. But you've got to have at least a rancher who's willing to stand up, and ideally a sheriff. That's your best focus. So my recommendation now that you see the response the feds have had to this, where they've got hundreds of officers now in town, my tactical recommendation is to shift focus to a strong county, have a sheriff stand up, and start that brush fire there and let it spread from there.
Well, let's see if that happens. It sounds like the potential's there, the spark's there, so we'll see what's going on.
I'm concerned about these folks on the refuge not understanding what's possibly coming their way at the ground level right now. And, of course, we have concern for kids being there. I think it's not a good idea at all to have children in that refuge. You can look back at the history of the federal government, Ruby Ridge and Waco being the two, you know, most recent examples. It's not a good place for kids to be. And I understand that they have faith in God to protect them, but so do the Branch Davidians. And I think it's best if they get the kids out of there, just in case the Fed.
Stuart, is there anything else that you wanted to add to things today?
I just want to reiterate our position on this. Like I said, I opposed what they did for the matter of just strategy and tactics, but we definitely agree on the broader mission. And this has been the case since Bundy Ranch. That's why, you know, I was there, helped COWS, Coalition of Western States, get launched, along with Matt Shea and a lot of the Western legislators. We were there, part of that. And the goal is to get people to stand up in their counties, preferably with a good constitutional sheriff. So I do think that's the best way to go. I really encourage folks to work on that. It comes from the bottom up in your counties. And I think this is one of the things that has been a good outcome from this, is the awareness of the issue and more folks standing up. So maybe in the long run, in the balance, it'll turn out to be a plus. But what I'm worried about is the feds don't want that to happen. And so my concern is that they may try to drop the hammer on these people to make an example out of them so nobody else stands up. You know, the nail that sticks up gets hammered. So that's why I say I think it's really, you know, it might be a smart move strategy-wise to shift to a constitutional sheriff county. Hey, they got one right above them in Grant County, Oregon. You got a friendly sheriff who's pretty strong. So I would encourage the void to look into close by constitutional sheriffs and see if they can't shift the focus there as another way to stand up and get folks going. So I think that part of it, I think, is great. But my concern is the perception inside of the military that this is seen as a Fort Sumter by good guys inside the military. A lot of them look at this and go, well, they took over a government building, and it's easier for the Obama administration and leftist media to demonize them because of that. So, you know, I would encourage them to think about that strategy-wise and think, well, are we reaching the point of diminishing returns by staying here on the X? Should we shift over somewhere else? And, hey, even finding a private rancher, even there in Harney County, who's willing to host them might be a smart lateral move. So, you know, of course I'll get attacked for saying that, but you got to think about what you're doing and not just be, you know, you can't just scream Wolverines and say we're going to take a hard stand. You have to think about it. So I do commend them for going out and finding good sheriffs and ranchers who are willing to stand up. I think that's the best way to roll. But I just worry about what will happen long term if they stay on that refuge. I think the FBI will at the very least cordon it off. I don't think you're going to let them go, come and go freely. At some point, they're going to close it off, and they now have the assets in place to do that. And then the question is, does it go like the Freeman standoff, long and drawn out, or does it go like Waco? And if it goes like Waco, it's going to blow up on our faces. So we just want to see this end peacefully either way. I think it'd be smart for them to go ahead and dig him out to another county where they got a friendly sheriff and start there on private land, but that's just my opinion. We'll see what happens. But another thing to stress, though, is that the most important thing listeners can do is to go outside and go next door and talk to the neighbor, start a neighborhood watch, start organizing their communities for mutual aid and mutual defense. That's where it really is, because when the crap hits the fan nationwide, no one's projecting out. You're a fool if you think you're going to be able to go to some other state and do something. You're going to have your hands full of where you're at. So get your own AO squared away. That should be your number one priority.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got our community preparedness teams. I'm sure the 3% have something like that. You don't need to be a part of an organization. You just go talk to your neighbors. And that is absolutely critical.
I learned this morning, believe it or not, it was in church. I don't know about most, but a good bit of our congregation had never read the Constitution. They didn't understand what it said as far as this issue goes. They didn't know that the federal government is not allowed to own land like this. So that's another thing that people can do, is they can start sharing their knowledge of the Constitution and copies of it. And so it will make people aware of what rights they have that they never realized that they did have.
Absolutely.
And I also wanted to thank Stuart. His leadership in this has been quite awesome. It's been done the way it should be done. Oath Keepers have, you know, they've not been making the headlines, but they've been doing it the right way. They've been counseling people in the way they should be done. And they've been had their presence in Burns the entire time. And it's been more than appreciated, their presence there and their guidance and their leadership. And I just wanted to thank you all for that. It wasn't noticed just by me. It's noticed by a lot of the locals.
Well, I appreciate that. I know 3% PPN has been doing the lion's share of the work down there. We're just supporting them, what they're doing. That's why I said Sergeant Major Santoro. He's the right, as Jason said earlier, he's the right guy for that job being on the ground. He just, you know, oozes authority, or not authority, but competency and credibility.
Leadership.
And I think that goes with the FBI too. He's an old Sergeant Major, you know, so it's kind of hard to not give them the respect he's due. I think it makes a big difference.
For those listening that may not know what the rank of Sergeant Major is, what accomplishment that is, explain that one, Stuart. What is a Sergeant Major?
Well, it's one of the highest non-commissioned officer ranks in the U.S. Army. It's very rare. And actually, he was an instructor at the Sergeant Major School. So he helped create more Sergeant Majors. But here, it's a very rare rank for someone to attain. It's way up there. It's kind of like being a general on the officer side. So if you're a Sergeant Major, it's quite an achievement. So you started off in infantry and then OED, you know, dealing with explosives. So a lot of credibility, a lot of experience, and he's a really calm, collected person to have on the ground. So it's a good addition to the PPN team down there, which is why I sent him. Jason, I've got to go, unfortunately, but I want to thank everybody for having me on, and we'll chat again.
Well, we appreciate you coming on and giving us your insight into what's happening there, Stuart. Thanks again.